Welcome to the Red and Bold Show. I am Mark Adams. This is Anthony Robertson right next to me. And we are the 49ers Red and Bold Show. This is where 49ers cut back and 49ers Camelot intersect. And we're here to talk some Brandon Ayuk trade, some 49er free agency stuff, and all of that good stuff. Ant, how's it going, man?
It's going good. And, you know, the offseason just never stops, even though here we are in phase three of free agency and the 49ers are still involved in relevancy. And let's be honest, as we get closer to the draft, the trade rumors are going to pick up. If you just look back at what Deebo Samuel's process was, I think we're going to probably find something very similar with Brandon Ayuk. So everyone better buckle in. It's going to be a long season of rumors and potential trades, especially working up to the draft. It's going to be fun, but that's what we sign up for. 49ers football's year round. NFL has done a very good job of making sure there is no off season for their brand. And we're in the midst of the not so off season.
Yeah. And so I already see some people in the chat talking. Josh said, trade Ayuk. I may not watch the season. I know that's not true because Josh is 49ers faithful forever. So he's not going to do something like that. Nick, what's up, man? Nick said, if Ayuk is asking 28 mil per year and you get offered a mid first or higher, I think you got to listen. Yep. We're going to talk about that because that, that's kind of where we're at, with some of the rumors, but we'll see. Donald Johnson, what's up, said, no way does it make sense to trade Ayuk unless he asking for way too much money nobody should pay. Yeah, so let's hop in since people are ready to go, ready to talk about Brandon Ayuk. Let's jump into that because there have been rumors. There was the rumor last week that Ayuk's team, which I thought was the 49ers, but I don't know if they meant the 49ers. I think they probably meant his representatives and the Jacksonville Jaguars were talking. Now I think that I doubt there's tampering because I'm guessing if there's truth to this, the 49ers probably gave them permission to do so. But reportedly Jacksonville or the 49ers said, hey, we'll take pick number 17 and a wide receiver. Jacksonville declined. What do you think about that? You think that 17 and another player is too high for him?
I don't know. I mean, this is Trent Baalke we're talking about, so we don't know exactly his motivation, but we've seen him overpay for wide receivers already. Christian Kirk, especially, he went out and he got him on the open market. He paid a lot of money for him. So he definitely likes to pay for wide receivers. And we know that they're in a prove it moment for Trevor Lawrence. They have to make sure that Trevor Lawrence has the best possible weapons and a chance to win. I think that the report about the 49ers, you know, asking for 17 and Zay Jones apparently was the wide receiver that they were asking about. I think in that case is where you're starting to get something that makes sense because then you get a player that you can plug and play to play X receiver in Brandon Ayuk's place. Now, is he Brandon Ayuk? Is he going to be able to do those things? No, but you're looking for like value. And Josh brought up in chat, you don't draft a rookie wide receiver to fill Brandon Ayuk's shoes because they can't fill Brandon Ayuk's shoes. It's going to take right. 2 years at least in this system to be able to be a big time wide receiver for the 49ers. So 49ers are in a win right now moment, which means their priority is getting Brandon Ayuk signed to an extension so that way they can win or at least getting him inside the building before the season starts, whether he's on that 1 year, fifth year option playing or they do something else. They have to make sure that this gets done so they have a player that can play on the outside. It has to either be a veteran that plays X or it needs to be Brandon Ayuk. I think they want the latter. But they're going to take calls. Kyle Shanahan said famously, he said, we would assume we'd listen to all calls, including calls for me. So he knows that that's what it's got to be about. And that's what the 49ers got to do. They got to make sure they always entertain every offer because you never know when a Herschel Walker type deal is going to come through. Somebody just might be willing to overpay.
Yeah. And I think that I've said all along, in every time I've been asked in the 49ers web zone mailbag about Debo being traded or Ayuk being traded or Kittle, I've been saying all along that they'll be coming back. I really have believed and still believe that they're going to work out an extension for Ayuk, but stranger things have happened. So we never really know. I just wonder if the 49ers indeed said pick 17 and Zay Jones, and I don't know if they picked him by name or if they just said another receiver or how that went. I'm guessing they probably named him. If that really happened, it almost makes me wonder if they threw that out knowing that Jacksonville would say no because they don't really want to trade him. And so maybe they're just humoring Ayuk, or maybe this is just part of the process of all the toying around, you know, with negotiations and things like that. So now the Pittsburgh Steelers are rumored. I don't know of anything that's happened. We all saw the post that Brandon Ayuk put out, I think yesterday, about how he and Mike Tomlin are twins or whatever, which they kind of look alike. I mean, I guess if you put some age on Ayuk and give him that beard, you know, like Tomlin, and give him that Pittsburgh hat, then maybe they would. But first, do you think that there's any truth to either of these rumors? And I mean, we've discussed his worth. But beyond the truth, if they do move on from him, how are you going to feel about that? I mean, we see people in here, like Josh said, no Ayuk changes the offense dramatically. Others just don't seem crazy about the thought of moving on from him. How would you feel if that happens?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of moving on from Brandon Ayuk either, because you do have to fill that void, and you are right now returning all 11 or even probably 12 starters, if you could include Juwan Jennings, on offense. And this was an offense that was really good last year. So I think you would just normally believe that it's going to get better in year two of all being together with chemistry, with Brock Purdy having a full offseason to not work on coming back from an injury, but work on being a better quarterback. You just don't want to make wholesale changes. We know how Kyle Shanahan believes about wide receivers. Besides Debo Samuel, I can't remember a rookie wide receiver coming in for Kyle and making an instant impact. So I don't believe that there is a replacement for Ayuk. I think that these are a very good ploy by his team and to garner interest. You want to make sure someone seems interested in your player, because then that gives you leverage. Right now, Brandon Ayuk is from a situation where he doesn't have much leverage. The 49ers presumably have a couple of years left of control of Ayuk. Fifth-year option. They could always franchise tag him next year. So Ayuk and his team have to get and work together to get some sort of a way to negotiate the money that they want. And, you know, we've seen someone in chat say maybe he wants $28 million. We all know that's not happening. The 49ers are not paying him $28 million. It's going to have to be south of $25. And I think they'd like it closer to $21, $22 million. So this is a back and forth. And once again, Brandon Ayuk loses leverage as we get through the draft. So he needs to get all this going right now. A smart little tweet by him, very smart. Mike Tomlin, all of a sudden, 2 hours later, there's a report from one of those Twitter pages saying, hey, the Steelers are interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. This stuff just happens because one little tweet happens. It's so intelligent by these groups that use social media. Next thing you know, he'll take down all of his 49ers stuff off his Instagram and everyone's going to freak out. This is just what they do. They use social media and they use other people to help get support. It's smart on their part, but I think that these are less accurate reports than anything. I think these are just negotiating ploys from Brandon Ayuk and his team.
Yeah, Josh said Ayuk's using social media like Debo did. Certainly that's part of the plan. And Phil said, we paid two firsts and a third for Trey Lance. I might go for that for Ayuk. I think that the 49ers probably would as well. I mean, all we have to do is look back at the DeForest Buckner trade. That was a mistake on the 49ers' behalf to trade a star player for the opportunity to draft someone to replace him. Nothing against Javon Kinlaw, but that was a failure. So that if I'm judging off of that trade, I'm not doing this. I'm not getting rid of a star receiver just for the chance to bring in his replacement or somebody else. Let's see. I want to find this from Kenny. He said, Kenny, what's up? He said, I like trades. I do when you're bringing in somebody good, but when you're bringing in somebody or you're getting rid of somebody good, then I don't know if I like that. But so maybe Kenny's just all about the chaos. I don't know. So let's get into something a little more free agency stuff, because the Brandon Ayuk, I mean, I think that this is probably going to end up like Debo. They're going to get something done, but in the process, there's going to be a lot of rumors. There's going to be what's going to look like unhappiness on the player's part. And so I don't think that we should get too bogged down or discouraged or whatever, or if you're like Kenny and you like trades, you know, don't get too excited, because I just don't, I don't think it's going to happen, but they've surprised me plenty of times. So I'm wrong all the time. All you have to do is go back and look at the stuff that I write and you'll see that I'm wrong all the time. So, and I don't think that's because of me. I think it's because of the 49ers. I'm blaming them. So, all right, let's talk some free agency here. We talked a lot of last week when there were the bigger names that that they signed or that they traded for. Here's a few that that they just have recently signed. So the linebacker Devondre Campbell from the Packers, the cornerback Isaac Yedem from the Saints, linebacker Ezekiel Turner, Chase Lucas, the cornerback, and offensive tackle Brandon Parker. We'll get into Josh Dobbs here in a minute, but I wanted to get your thoughts on these guys. Let's start with Devondre Campbell. Obviously, the 49ers need a starting linebacker because we don't know when we're going to have Dre Greenlaw come back, if he's even going to come back this season. And so they need somebody to play that part until he comes back. Is Devondre Campbell the kind of guy that can fill Greenlaw's shoes until he gets back?
Yeah, I think this is one of those interesting ones where if you go off his 2022, 2023, the way that he played in that system, you're going to look at this as a negative signing. If you go back to 2021 where he has an all-pro season, you're thinking to yourself, yeah, this is a guy that can step in and fill the void of Dre Greenlaw until he comes back. And I think that's what the 49ers are counting on. Now, Campbell has had some very interesting comments all over social media where he has been more than willing to answer people's questions. And he's been very clear. He has no problem with the Green Bay Packers organization, but he did have problems with Joe Barry's defense and how he was used and how Quay Walker was used inside that defense. And he said in 2021, he did his own thing to in that system and had great success. And then in 2022 and 2023, he tried to be a team player and do what they wanted him to do. And he took a step back, and that's why his production fell off. When you look at his skill set and how he is built as a football player, he definitely looks like a player that fits the 49ers system and will be able to play well. So if it is like he said, and it's more the Joe Barry problems, then yeah, he could fit very nice with San Francisco's defense. And he could be there and be a staple at that linebacker group, especially while Dre Greenlaw is out. I think this is one of those wait and see, but 49ers have been very good at scouting linebackers throughout the years and picking up guys that play pretty well. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here, and I'm going to kind of take him at his word, because some of the timeline that he put out there about Joe Barry was also when there was all the conversation that Matt LaFleur took over a lot of onus of the defense and they started winning. He said he went to Matt LaFleur and they had conversations about how to better use him and Quay Walker in this defense, including blitzing a lot more. I think those were interesting comments. So now I'm even more curious about this signing, if the 49ers believe that is more who he is, because he does have the athletic profile to play within this defense.
Yeah, he did say that he was greatly misused in Green Bay. So Bryant Culp's in here. What's up, Bryant? He says, smash the like button, everyone. Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's see. I'm going to move on to the next one. I saw a comment that I wanted to get to, but I'm going to have to find that one again. So cornerback Isaac Yedem from the Saints, he started about half the season, and I think it was due to an injury, maybe Marcus Lattimore or something like that. I don't remember if that's who it was exactly, but I think that I remember hearing that or reading it. And when he came in, he really looked good. I mean, had a good second half of his season. What do you see about Isaac Yedem? Do you think that he could potentially start for the 49ers?
Well, I think first off, he looks like a natural upgrade from Ambry Thomas. And I think you have to always improve your depth. And the 49ers right now don't have a clear picture of what they're going to do at cornerback. There are some reports that Diamond Lenore wants to play outside. He doesn't want to play nickel. Of course, he's a team player, so he doesn't. But of course, that makes sense because Diamond Lenore is going into a contract year. And you want to play outside because outside money is different than inside money. We've seen the best cornerback on the open market get $10 million to play nickel. That's a lot bigger if you're playing outside and playing well. So I think Demo does want to play outside, but at least right now you have the ability to put Demo at nickel and you have the ability to put Isaac out at the outside corner spot. And I think he's an improvement over Ambry Thomas. I think he would have started for us at the end of the season last year. So I think they've gotten better in that scenario. So I think I like a lot of his game. He fits the profile of the 49ers cornerbacks. He looked good in zone coverage from what I went back and watched. So I like this overall. I like this length. I like his ability, his physicality, the way he plays his drops and zone coverage. And he looks as through the years in the NFL, he's gotten more and more comfortable. So I think he's a scheme fit. And guess what? You've heard this before. He was in Denver with guess who? Brandon Staley. So once again, you have a guy that has the history with Brandon Staley, and the 49ers bring him in to play corner.
Let's see. You didn't say Ambry at nickel, right?
No.
I thought you said... You said Diamador Lenore at nickel.
Yeah, no, Ambry. Ambry's an outside guy only.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a nickel at all.
Yeah, and he needs to not only be outside, he needs to be way outside, like on the sideline. But just my opinion.
I think there's a real chance Ambry Thomas doesn't make this 53-man roster.
Yeah, if they draft a corner or two, then you're right. That's very possible because they are high on Darrell Luter Jr. Who knows where they're at with Samuel Womack? I mean, they were high on him and then he kind of disappeared. So hopefully some of those guys will, and I don't have anything against Ambry personally. He's so up and down. I think they need more consistency at that spot. Then the 49ers signed some guys that I think are definitely backup players, like Ezekiel Turner, the linebacker, Chase Lucas, the corner, offensive tackle Brandon Parker. Where do you see these guys fitting in? Just special teams, or could any of them make a play on offense, defense? As far as they're going to be more backup type roles, but were any of these guys kind of like jump out to you where you thought, man, I really like this signing?
Well, I liked Chase Lucas because I had broke him down in the draft and I thought he was a good nickel corner prospect. Of course, once again, these are, like you said, these are the bottom of the roster potential guys. When it comes to Ezekiel Turner, the guy is great at special teams, same with Chase Lucas. So that's where you get the wonders about guys like Sam Womack and Ambry Thomas is, hey, when you're in the back end, we might want a guy that can play nickel but can also do on special teams. Womack was a healthy scratch for pretty much the bottom third of the season. So do you go with a Chase Lucas because he can help you on special teams but you feel more comfortable with him in the nickel because they don't feel comfortable with Womack playing nickel because of his physicality in the run game? So I thought that one was interesting. I think they're trying to make sure they fill their holes so when they get to the draft, they want to get a corner. And I see, you know, people in chat saying Max Melton. That's a great possibility. Mike Sarah still from Michigan makes a lot of sense for me as a nickel corner, especially if Demo wants to stay on the outside. So I think the 49ers are going to try to address it, but you make sure you fill holes at getting a guy like Chase Lucas that has some ability that you can see what you can potentially get out of him. It makes a lot of sense. And remember, right now, the guy running the defense for the 49ers has had a specialty role in nickel corners in two stops in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So he might see something on film that he really likes in Chase Lucas, and we might get one of those guys that doesn't look like much now, but then comes in and competes. And I do like his aggressiveness and physicality in the run game. So it, to me, that was probably the most interesting of the three depth signings.
Yeah, and I agree with Donald here that they're wanting to improve special teams. That is an issue. And they may have lost the Super Bowl because of special teams. Now, I don't really blame Luter. And I don't know if you can blame Ray McLeod either, but that was just kind of a fluky play. But still, special teams has been bad for a while. Donald said Max Melton can play all over the backfield. Here are the ones that I wanted to get to. A couple of questions here from Donald. He asked, will the Niners sign somebody like Justin Simmons? They have reportedly not only been talking to safeties that are going to be drafted next month, but they've been kind of rumored to be speaking with safeties in free agency as well. Justin Simmons would be a good one. But what does that mean for Talanoa Hufanga? If they're looking, if they were to bring in Justin Simmons, does that mean? I don't think that means that they've soured on Jair Brown. Have they soured on Talanoa Hufanga, or are they concerned that he may not come back the same player? What is your take on the 49ers looking into some of these safeties if it's true that they're looking into guys like Justin Simmons?
Yeah, I think they are looking into Justin Simmons. I think you got a guy that's a six-time All-Pro, and he's not exactly getting paid already on the open market. You got to think whatever he thought his value was going to be, it has definitely been devalued around the NFL as far as safety goes. So the 49ers could sit back and wait. And if for some reason, I mean, we're a long ways away from the draft, but if there's some reason that Simmons makes it all the way to the draft and he doesn't get signed, guess what happens after the draft? You sign a player and they no longer count against your compensatory rule. So then you get compensatory picks. These guys are free. So some of these signings, these cornerbacks, these veteran quarterbacks, these safeties make a lot of sense to sign later. And I think that's why a lot of teams wait. But right now they're trying to find out what their market is. I think if Justin Simmons signed to the 49ers, I think that doesn't necessarily mean Talanoa Hufanga is out this season, but he is going into a contract year coming off a ACL injury. He could easily come in and compete. Your likelihood is Justin Simmons would start, and then you would have a competition between Talanoa Hufanga and Jair Brown. And if Hufanga wins the job, guess what? Jair Brown's going into a sophomore season. He can sit another year. He would still have 2 years under his current contract. That's not the worst thing. You could go with some cool three safety looks, or you could put Hufanga in the box, especially as that extra linebacker type. So there's a lot of creative things you can do, and we don't know philosophically what that defense is going to look like entirely yet. So it might not be such a opinion about Hufanga and more an opinion about how they plan on playing and also where Jair Brown is. Just because Jair Brown played in the Super Bowl and had an interception, it doesn't mean everything was fixed. So you don't know who you're going to get. I hope we get a great player, but why not hedge your bets in case Hufanga's not ready or they don't feel Jair Brown is all the way there yet in year two?
Yeah, I am obviously a little concerned about Hufanga coming back from that injury simply because sometimes it takes a little bit for him to get back in. Here's the other question from Donald. Should the Niners get
Tre'Davious White?
I can't say it right now. Opposite of Ward. I don't know. I mean, he's more, I don't know that he's the player that he was.
I think with Tre'Davious White, I mean, he's coming off two injuries. He's had an ACL and he's had an Achilles. So you got a guy that's definitely dealt with some injuries over the last few years, and he was really talented. We've seen Mooney Ward go ahead and tweet out. It was really funny. He said, hey, if you're interested in this guy, we have the same agent. And he's going right now on his tour of locations where he's, you know, meeting. He's meeting with the Rams today, I believe it is. And so he's gauging interest around the league. I think what's interesting about Tre'Davious White is he does have the ability to be a shutdown, lockdown corner. But the 49ers have turned so much of their attention to signing guys who don't have health issues, who can play extended snaps. So this one would be a little interesting. I think if you have the philosophy that you're going to sign him real cheap and build in a ton of incentives that count on him being on the field, that would make sense. But if you're getting a guy that you're just going to pay money to, big money, and you're going to count on him being healthy, that's when it gets really nervous and nerve-wracking for me. So I think this one would all come down to the structure of the deal and what kind of value he has around the league. But as far as a player, I love him. He would fit the system perfectly. Him and Mooney Ward on the outsides with Demo in the nickel. If you're getting a healthy Tre'Davious White, would make a lot of sense and probably be the best, you know, secondary we've seen in San Francisco since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan got here in 2017. So it's enticing, but I don't know what that medical looks like. And ultimately, I don't know what that contract would look like. And I have a feeling there's some teams around the league that would overpay. And so 49ers probably won't get into any sort of a bidding war. And right now, we haven't even heard them mentioned besides the Mooney Ward tweet.
Yeah. So the 49ers signed a quarterback earlier this week. Josh Dobbs from the Cardinals and the Vikings most recently. I think he was with both teams last year. What do you think about this sign? I really feel much better about this because I was a little concerned with Brock Purdy. You know, if he gets injured and you have Brandon Allen or a rookie behind Purdy, to me, that's not a good scenario for the 49ers. But I think Dobbs can win you some games. I don't see him as a number one kind of guy, but I see him as the kind of guy who can win you some games when he needs to. Is he an upgrade over Sam Darnold?
I don't know if he's an upgrade, but I think he is a similar profile in the fact that he can move. And I think that's what we're finding with the 49ers wanting their number two quarterback to be able to move around the pocket and extend plays and get outside the pocket and create. And that was something Sam Darnold could do very underratedly. And I think that's the same thing with Dobbs. Is you're getting a veteran guy, and the same with Darnold, that is super intelligent and understands how to pick up system really quick. Spending a little bit of time in Minnesota, that's going to help his learning curve. And that was part of the reason you got Darnold, was a guy that could process quickly. Getting Kyle Shanahan's system down is difficult. It was very important, though, to add a veteran to this room. The 49ers needed to make sure. Now, they had Brandon Allen. That could have been their move. Now we know Josh Dobbs, $2.75 million guaranteed. He's quarterback, too. They'll probably end up getting someone late in the seventh round or an undrafted free agent to compete with Brandon Allen. And we'll see what happens with that. If some certain guys or some guys I like late in the draft, if they fall, that would make sense. But to me, you're right. You said it. Dobbs is a guy that you feel can come in and win football games if something happened. You miss two games, for instance, he could come in there and you would have a chance to win both of those football games. That's all you're looking for, is a chance. And so I thought this was a very smart, very strategic signing. I did not see it coming, actually. And I think the 49ers are in a better situation from Darnold financially. He was making too much money last year. Now that money comes down, and you'll probably get pretty similar play from the two because of the things that Dobbs can do with his legs.
Donald said, "I'm glad they didn't get Zach Wilson." Did you think that was any truth to that rumor? Because to me, I know that in college the kid had some talent, but to me, the 49ers are looking for leaders, and I just don't see that leadership from Zach Wilson. I never thought that there was any truth to that.
I've always thought there was a little bit of a interest in Kyle Shanahan with Zach Wilson. Some of the reports last, you know, the 2021 draft, them calling the Jets to try to get a little idea of who they were going to take. I always thought there was a little bit of interest just because he kind of fit the scheme. And that's why Mike LaFleur and them went with him and with the New York Jets. I think he's got top level talent. We did not see it materialize in the NFL at all. I don't know who Zach Wilson is as a quarterback. And so to me, they were never going to trade anything significant to pick up Zach Wilson. So that didn't make sense to me. But to say that they wouldn't take him as a reclamation project and just see what he's got, I definitely think that would make sense. I think that, you know, if he got released, the 49ers would definitely bring him in to compete with Brandon Allen. Why not have a young dude that's got a lot of talent? Hey, if he beats out Josh Dobbs, right, great. I think that that would be something they'd be interested in, but nobody's legitimately going to trade any draft capital to the New York Jets for Zach Wilson because the owners already came out and said what they feel about him. So to me, that part of it didn't make sense. But whatever, you got a young dude with a lot of talent that was a top five pick, you at least want to kick the tires on him. I don't care what team you are.
Yeah, he would have to be more humble now than he was as a rookie, because I don't think that they would be interested in that kind of locker room presence from the quarterback position. John Feliciano is returning to the 49ers. I really thought that this was a good re-signing, but I still wonder, is this offensive line good enough? I feel pretty good about right guard with Feliciano being there. I think that McKivitz can hold down right tackle. I'd love to see him upgrade. To me, the weakness might be at center. I know that the offensive line coach, I call him Forrester. You call him what?
Forrester.
Forrester.
Yeah.
And so I know that he likes Jake Brendel, but I'm not entirely sold on Jake Brendel. What do you think about the state of the offensive line? Are they good enough? I mean, yeah, they're good enough to get the 49ers over the hump because they came really close, but are they as good as they need to be?
I think you're always looking to upgrade, and I think there are several positions along the offensive line the 49ers would love to upgrade. I think when they look at it financially from the way that they build their football team, they've decided to put money into other areas. And so you paid a lot for Trent Williams, and so at some point you've got to address it. I think they would like to go young. I think there are some centers and some tackles in this draft that they would love to kick the tires on and get to come in and compete. The question is, who of those guys can step in day one and start? I think there were some centers around the NFL in free agency that could have stepped in and started for the 49ers, but they were too expensive, so the 49ers couldn't go that way. And I think there were right tackles that were available that didn't quite fit the 49ers scheme. So the 49ers have to address it in the draft. So this is a very good offensive line draft, and I expect them to address it. I just don't know, besides getting one of those top two or three centers, if somebody can beat out Jake Brendel in year one, because that center responsibility of making line calls and understanding everything that has to happen with Kyle's system is very unique. So I think that if Brock Purdy takes over some of that, you could go with a young center. But I think the 49ers will address this. I think an interior offensive lineman will be drafted and an offensive tackle will be drafted, and we're going to have some competition. But yeah, there's some definite upgrades you want to make eventually. And I think they were getting a young player this year that maybe doesn't play in 2024, but in 2025 is ready to step in, could be exactly what the 49ers are looking to do in this draft.
Yeah. And I don't know if they're ready to put the pressure on Purdy to be making those kind of calls that Brendel is making right now. Kyle puts a lot of pressure on his center. I mean, he liked Weston Richburg. Who's the guy he had in Atlanta?
Alex Mack.
Yeah. So I know that he really liked Alex Mack a lot, and Alex Mack was really good. Richburg was good, but he was always hurt. So Brendel, I think that he's smart. I just think he's not strong enough, in my opinion. I don't think that that last offensive play of the Super Bowl, I don't know anything about that, but I don't think that that was on Brendel. I think that, I mean, Burford admitted that it was his missed assignment, you know, and so I did wonder, you know, maybe Brendel made the wrong call, but since Burford took the blame, I'm going to stick with him. I just don't think that he's the guy that the 49ers need. I kind of agree with Phil. He's a flexible backup, but not a starter. Wouldn't mind seeing him be a backup just across the interior of the line. So The last thing that I have on here is that the 49ers we found out yesterday that they're losing their 2025 fifth round draft pick, and their 2024 fourth round pick is moving back to the end of the fourth round because of payroll accounting errors. Dang you, Joan and payroll. This has got to be payback for the 49ers firing her buddy, Jim Tomsula. What do you think about this mess? How do they make a mistake like this?
Yeah, the reference is absolute gold. It's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I have a buddy that texted me like right away when it happened, and he was like, who needs to get fired? You know, what needs to happen here? And then you start reading into it, you start seeing what actually happened. And this is a minor error that never, you know, makes them go against the salary cap. It said they stayed under salary cap the whole time. And the NFL literally says they don't believe there was any intent. So it's just an honest error. And the 49ers are going to move four spots back in this year's draft and lose next year's fifth. I do think it's interesting, and I haven't really heard anyone put these things together yet, but there was a report maybe like 2 weeks ago that the NFL was getting complaints from owners about the 49ers being able to take advantage of the compensatory picks and that the way that that was happening. Interesting that all of a sudden there is an audit into what the 49ers are doing, and they are getting one of their picks moved back, and they're losing a fifth round pick because of the way they reported compensatory money. I just thought that was a little interesting. I don't know if that's something the NFL did, but this could have been a little, a little appeasing of the owners to make this happen. Because why would you get punished if you made an error that had no effect on anything? If it doesn't have an effect on anything, why are you losing a draft pick? We've seen teams get less for doing way more. So to me, this didn't make sense, and it could be something to do with that. You never know with Roger Goodell and the NFL. They kind of move like the mafia and do whatever they want to do anyways. But to me, this is a nothing thing. It sucks you're losing a fifth round pick, but an honest error. How do you get worked up about that? I mean, things happen. People make mistakes, you know, and maybe Joan just screwed up a little bit.
And if you've forgotten the Joan and payroll reference, it's from Jim Tomsula's introductory press conference when he was hired to be the 49ers head coach, and he's rattling off a lot of stuff that made very little sense. That was the press conference when Trent Baalke interrupted and said, I think he said he's going to run the football. Remember that? That was the worst press conference. In fact, I had about a year ago, I had Matt Barrows on my show, and I asked him for his most memorable press conference ever. And he mentioned one where Jim Harbaugh wasn't scheduled to speak. It was like the coordinator's day. And Harbaugh came in, walked to the podium without saying a word, and then just said something like, AJ Jenkins is a very good receiver and he'll be in this league for many years. And then he walked off. And that was obviously in response to, remember, AJ Jenkins couldn't even stay on his feet in practice when there were no pads. He just was slipping everywhere. And so Harbaugh was obviously defending his receiver. But the other one that Matt referenced was the Tomsula introductory press conference, where he said that it was so bad that whenever they finished, that Matt looked to some of the other beat writers and said, well, I guess we'll be here this time next year. And sure enough, they were there a year later for Chip Kelly's introductory press conference. So that's the Joan and payroll thing, when Tomsula was naming people that he had met throughout the building, and he named Joan and payroll. So that kind of became the big joke, but so any other things that you have? I did see that somebody asked if we're going to be doing a mock draft. I think, Nick asked, are we going to be doing a mock draft? That's not something that I normally do. Do you do that normally?
Yeah, normally I do mock drafts. I actually haven't done a mock draft this season. I like to wait until after free agency, and now we're starting to get to mock draft time because then you get to see which holes need to be filled. And I did see, I think Nick asked about pick 31 and pick 63, because now that you have holes filled, you have less positions that you're probably going to go with. So yeah, I enjoy doing the mock drafts. I've done a lot of them personally because I get an idea of where draft prospects are kind of trending between the different mock simulators. I ultimately always go off my own film and I make my own chart and I put it together, and I've had pretty good success on it through the years. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I actually really enjoy mock drafts. I think they give you a clear picture. But always remember with mock drafts, and this is a public service announcement, don't go with who you like. Go with who the 49ers are going to like. Are they a scheme fit? Do they make sense in the offense? Don't tell me a guy can win at center when he's going against a guy straight up, but he struggles on the second level. I'm going to tell you, that's not a 49er guy. And so you just got to remember that. So when you're listening to guys and they're like, oh, I like this guy, but if he doesn't fit the system, what's the point of liking that guy? He's going to play for somebody else, and you're going to like a player on the other team.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely get into some draft stuff, maybe even starting as early as next week. But yeah, we'll get into that for sure. Any final thoughts before we clock out of here?
Yeah, I mean, just thanks again, Mark, for a great show. Always enjoy talking 49ers football. And I'm hoping to get some more content out. I have a lot of stuff going in my personal life. I'm hoping to get that where I can record more. But I always enjoy Wednesdays and working with you and the Red and Bold Show. And I hope everyone will continue to join us and like and subscribe each one of the channels. If you haven't subscribed to Mark's channel, you haven't been over there, and you're watching on 49ers Cutback, go check out 49ers Camelot. Give him a like. Subscribe to the channel, because Mark does great work. And he deserves it. And I don't know when the voting starts, but I've seen that you're in the bracket challenge for all the content creators. So everyone go vote for Mark. Let's try to get a Cinderella story going and get Mark first round victory.
Yeah. Yeah. If I get through the first round, I'm against somebody that I actually have not heard of, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to win for sure. I don't know who I'd be going against in the second round, but I'm certain I would lose because there are some great, great content creators out there. But yeah, make sure that you go like and subscribe to 49ers Cutback and 49ers Camelot. And hey, tell everybody about what we're doing here, the Red and Bold Show. I feel like we have a really good rapport. We work really well together, and we're doing some cool stuff here. So please make sure that you share this and pass this on to others. Thanks everybody for checking in. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Red and Bold Show. Have a great week.